Well, for those of us that are here in Southern California, it's very wet outside. It is very, very wet. I think we've gotten at least an inch of rain, if not more. And that rainfall is expected to continue through the end of this week. So it's going to be very wet. But you know what? I wanted to talk about something that kind of came to mind in light of this. I want to talk about something that Scripture shows us over and over and over again, and that is the significance of weather in the Bible. Kind of cute, huh? But you know what? I don't mean it in like a poetic or sentimental way. I mean it in a very real way that only God could really communicate. So when the Bible talks about things like rain, wind, drought, storms, snow, thunder, things like that, it's never without meaning, right? Weather is often one of the ways that God reveals his authority and his provision and things of that nature. So we're going to start here in Psalm chapter 19. And in Psalm chapter 19, verse 1, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." Creation is constantly communicating something about God. The sky is not neutral. The atmosphere is not operating independently from God. Scripture presents God not as a distant creator who stepped away, but as one who actively governs what he has made. Listen to this. In Psalm 147, verse 8 says, "Who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains." You notice the language here in this verse. He prepareth rain. You know, that means intention. You know, rain is not described as accidental, it's prepared. You know, we often pray for rain when nature shows signs of lacking water, right? So God is very intentional about this. God is involved in, you know, sustaining the earth, right? Every time rain falls, it's a reminder that life on this planet is upheld by his design. Now, another thing is that throughout Scripture, weather often reflects spiritual conditions. And I would say one of the clearest examples is the drought during Elijah's time, huh? So in 1 Kings, verse 17, or chapter 17, verse 1 says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." No rain was not just a climate issue. It was a spiritual statement, right? Israel had basically turned towards idolatry, and the drought exposed their dependence. When water disappears, you quickly realize how little control you actually have. But you know what? After years of things being dry out there, Elijah makes a pretty remarkable statement. And in chapter 18 of 1 Kings, verse 41, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." What's interesting here is that the sky was still clear, and there were no visible signs yet, but Elijah heard something before it appeared. faith sometimes recognizes movement before circumstances change, right? We're still in 1 Kings 18, verse 44. It says, and it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. A cloud of the size of a man's hand doesn't sound impressive, but it was the beginning of reversal. Okay, next verse says, verse 45 in 1 Kings 18, and it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. Things like this can carry massive outcomes when God is involved. Weather is not only used for provision, sometimes it reveals God's authority in unmistakable ways. Think about the moment Jesus Christ was with the disciples when they were caught in that violent storm in Mark chapter 4. Take a look at that real quick, verses 37 through 39 in Mark chapter 4. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him. And they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. You know, these guys, the disciples, were experienced fishermen, you know. This was not some mild weather that they were experiencing. This was the kind of storm that makes professionals panic. I mean, I don't know, some of you may have seen these videos of these guys that work in dangerous parts of the ocean. These guys are trained, experienced. Yes, they make a lot of money. Deep sea fishing and working on the barges out there, whatever the case may be. But even the most severe weather can make these guys kind of get really anxious. But notice something important. Jesus didn't negotiate with the storm. He simply rebuked it. And that reaction from the disciples tells the story. And we're still here in Mark chapter 4. In verse 41, it says, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? You know, the question kind of answers itself. You know, Jesus Christ obviously had the power of God within him, so he had authority over this situation. Storms in the scriptures and weather like this often remind people how limited human control really is. Now, look at what God says in the book of Job, chapter 37. Verse 5, God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doth he, which he cannot comprehend. For he saith to the snow, be thou on the earth, likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of his strength. Now, how about that one? The great rain of his strength. Kind of reframes how we think about storms, huh? Who knows? Maybe what feels pretty disruptive to us might still be operating under his command. Who knows? This rain that we're experiencing today is probably because God knows that we need it, especially here in Southern California. I don't know. I'm just making an observation there. But okay, a little bit later here in Job 38, the next chapter over, you know, God says something to Job directly. Verse 22 in Job 38, "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war?" You know, God calls them treasures. Even forms of weather that we tend to dislike have purpose beyond our understanding. You know, rain, I know a lot of the times, you know, God mentions this idea of rain that comes down, right? Because rain frequently symbolizes blessings, right? But notice the emphasis that Scripture places on timing. Let's take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. And in verse 12, it says, "The Lord shall open unto thee this good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine land." Yes, rain in the wrong season can destroy crops, but rain in the right season produces abundance. You see, timing matters, and over and over again, we see in God's word that God is presented consistently as precise. Let's see here. Got quite a few scriptures here. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Rain always produces something, doesn't it? This is a little New Testament perspective worth paying attention to. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. "That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." You know, sometimes in this particular verse, talks about rain here. Sometimes rain doesn't mean anything in particular. Sometimes it's simply evidence of God's mercy. You know, everybody benefits from the stability that God maintains, right? On the flip side, weather can also function as a warning. I mean, think about the flood, right? In Genesis chapter 7. And this is right here in verse 11. "And in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights." Incredible. You know, what had once been a source of life became an instrument for God to use to clean up all the stuff that was happening on the earth, right? But yet, even in this record, mercy was present, because we all know the story of the ark. And that ark was provisioned before the storm arrived. Another moment worth looking at is how God guided Israel through the wilderness. Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. See, the cloud was both direction and covering. You know, what looked like just ordinary weather was actually guidance. Because sometimes sometimes God does things that seem completely normal to us, yet at the same time, when it comes to God, he's always intentional about it. Right? Let's see here. A lot of scriptures that just talk about this. Proverbs chapter 3. And here's where all of this stuff becomes practical, right? We know this verse doesn't mention rain or shine or any of that stuff about weather, but it says in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. If God can manage oceans, storm systems, atmospheric pressure, and all of those other seasonal cycles with precision, then he certainly doesn't struggle in handling the details of our lives. And I guess that's kind of the whole point that God wanted to get across. The same authority that tells the rain where to fall is fully capable of directing our path. So whether today brings literal rain, and it has, or whether someone finds themselves in a season that feels uncertain, the consistent message of Scripture is this: God is present, active, and God never just improvises, right? Nothing in creation operates outside of God's awareness. And that alone is solid ground for trust. So I thought it would be kind of neat just to look at a few verses tonight that discuss this idea of weather and what different things weather can symbolize and different things that weather has symbolized in throughout history. And there are other records, of course, but you guys are great. So I'm going to pray and we'll close out here and we'll have some manifestations, okay? So gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for just your magnificent love and grace over our lives, Father. Rain or shine, you are there. Rain or shine, you always remind us of what we mean to you, Lord. And we just give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name.